movies. Yeah, see, the more hands because, well, you know, it's just the way it works. Wouldn't it be so cool if you had that theme song playing in your head just every day? I mean, seriously, I mean, if you had the ability to have that theme song played in your head, then maybe the very mundane things of everyday life would kind of start fitting together. You realize that if you miss this connection, that you could actually cost somebody's life. I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking about when I happened upon and chose the scripture for today, is that a lot of times we don't hear that theme song. We don't hear that idea that if we don't make the connections with, you know, through life, that, you know, everything's going to be okay. And everything usually does work out that way. But we like to hear, I think we'd do better if we heard that Mission Impossible theme song in our back of our head. Well, we are on a journey this summer, and we're all headed somewhere. We're all headed somewhere, and we as a church want you to be living on mission, living out love. Our mission statement is love God, love all people, follow Christ together, but we want you to be on mission, living out love. And some of you have been part of the 90 days reading plan, so if you have been part of that and you're up to date or you're just where we're at right now, then you will know that this passage of scripture we're looking at. So I want you to go ahead and take out your Bibles, if you will. Take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. It's found in the New Testament. And the word testament, for some of us, we need to do a little conversion in our minds because we may not know this, but the word testament really means covenant. It really has that exchange. And so when we see Old Testament, New Testament, we see this. There's a shift, not a change from God, but there's a change in covenant, and it's introducing, especially the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are introducing the very individual, the very person of Jesus, who initiates this new covenant that we're now under and that we get to live out as a people. And so that's where we find it. The book is Luke. Some of you may know this, but Luke was not an eyewitness to the gospel events, to the things of Jesus. But he was a doctor. And because he was a doctor, I think, and because he was investigatory, curious as a person, he began to take down, as the scripture, as you read in the first chapter of Luke, you'll read that he begins to take a thorough account, I think those are some of his words, a thorough account of what happened and what transpired. And so he details out in a different perspective as from Matthew or Mark how Jesus's, his intersection on here on earth took place. And he brings out some different points that are very, very appropriate for us. So before we get into the scripture this morning, I just want to talk about the word duty. Duty. We, in this culture, that is a word that we would rather toss away. It has with it not only this idea of mission, responsibility, and obligation, but it has with it when we say to somebody, "Hey, did you do your duty?" And again, not to be crude, but we're not referring to what was earlier. We're talking about your task. Have you done your duty? And people go, "Ah, you know, mom and dad, when you say, hey, have you done your chores?" Really, you're asking them, have you done your duty? And your kids recoil with, really? Ah, you know? But it really, when we live within our duty or what we're called to do, there are some incredible things that happen. There are some incredible things that happen. We are able to live on mission. There's a responsibility that comes with duty. There's even an obligation that comes with duty. As we read through Scripture, and as we kind of maybe look back on even some of our family, we realize, you know, my grandpa, you know, he did things out of duty. I'm sure he didn't like to do some of the things he did. We then come to understand it in a healthier way instead of this onerous well, weight that sometimes we think about. But with duty, you have to also think, all right, what if somebody shirks their responsibility? Now, this is probably a new word for you. I don't know if it's an old-fashioned word. I have no idea, but it was one from my vocabulary. And so I think I need to help you with that. So what happens when somebody shirks their duty? And we'll talk about that in a second, but I want to define shirks first, because there is an Arabic side to it, which I don't mean, and there's the English side. Shirks means to avoid, to sidestep, or to quit. To avoid, you know, you avoid, they're avoided, or sidesteps, or just quit, right? Have you ever had that happen? When you expected somebody to do their duty, and they shirked their responsibility, they shirked their duty. What happens? Now, before you go into it and your mind starts to get muddled, let's just play with a few of them. So, what if your doctor shirked his responsibility while you were in surgery? You know, he forgot to read the manual. I mean, forgot to shut this off, forgot to cauterize that, forgot to sew up that. What would transpire? Something would be missed. There would be something broken. It may not function well. We don't like to think about that. I can tell there's a stillness that's over us. We don't like to think of going into surgery and our doctors just stayed up way too late, drank too much coffee, or did, you know, whatever else. What if we have a lawyer and there are pieces of the law he or she does not know, and you need them to know those pieces of that law, yet when you go into court or you're mitigating, they don't know it. What happens? They've shirked their duty, right? We're a litigious culture. We like to sue when things don't go right. So you're even thinking about that with your doctor now, because that's exactly where we went. If he missed something, that commercial where the cell phone's in the person, right? You've seen it. We all laugh, but we all go, oh boy, I hope that doesn't happen, because then we see YouTube videos of doctors dancing and doing other things while in surgery. Not false. That's true. I don't know if they dropped their cell phones, but anyway. What if a construction, you own a home, and the construction company just doesn't build the foundation like they should? They shirk their duty. They know what the law or the obligation is, but they shirk their duty on putting the foundation in. You're not an expert in that, but they are supposed to come through, right? What happens? What about his parents? This may get a little close to home, because we may have our ideals of what parents, but what if parents shirk their duty as parents? Right? What if they don't step into the fact that it's more important to be a parent than it is to be a friend? Yep, I've maybe stepped over some lines here. I don't know. I mean, what happens, right? There's a failure at a level, right? Maybe a little bit lighter. What if you liked riding roller coasters, but the place that you're going forgot to test the roller coaster that morning, and the lines are long, and the person's like impatient, and they let you on, right? Without testing, and then some failure. They've shirked their duty. I just want to give you an understanding that if we as people who are called followers of Jesus understand that we have a duty, we're going to read about somebody who had a duty to do, we have things that we really aren't to check off because they're to check off, but we're to do because they keep us in relationship. It's like, what if we shirk our duties as husbands and wives? There's a demise to pay for that, right? There's a demise to pay for that. We all have a responsibility. We all have obligation. Yet, and we all have this idea of everyday events that should be carried out, right? That should be part of just normal everyday life. They're part of the mundane, but they become, let's just be honest, those things that if we don't do them over a period of time, they get noticed, but they're boring. They're not always the most vivacious, life-giving things, but they do lead to life-giving things. And that's where we're heading this morning. Our mission doesn't always have, our duty doesn't always have the soundtrack of Mission Impossible behind it. Right? We get home, make dinner, we eat, we wash the dishes, place them in the dishwasher or whatever we do with them. We play with the kids, we check out the news, we weed and water the flowers maybe, mow the lawn, wash the car, all of that. But somewhere in the midst of our week or month, we balance the budget, right? Or we create a budget or whatever that may be. We figure out the next home project, right? All of these things become, really, this is life. In fact, some of you have progressed with your children and they've like, is really? I mean, we thought you could skip all that. But we notice that they can't. But let me offer this up. Duty is the mission where God often meets us and meets our deepest desires and deepest requests. It's in that idea of duty that God really often does meet us. And he speaks or delivers on our deepest desires and deepest requests. So Luke chapter 1, starting in the fifth verse, it's part of, oftentimes we see this as part of the Christmas or birth story of Jesus. We're going to focus on a little bit different aspect of it this morning, not completely, but differently. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. So they were already part of the family. We don't live in this kind of a culture anymore, right? So if your last name was Blacksmith, years ago, you would be a blacksmith. I mean, that's what you did. Right? Or if you were, you know, shoemaker, you probably grew up in a home, potentially, that's how their names came. This is the same idea. If you were a Levite, you served as somebody in the church. You served in the temple. You served in that role. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. Do you see that? A lot of things we know we don't do, but they were careful to do what they knew. A lot of things we know we don't do, but they were careful to do what they knew. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. This is a common theme, not only amongst us, but this is a common theme in the Bible. And it's kind of like a sign to us. There's something to come ahead, so keep your eyes open. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty. That's where I got the word. I didn't make it up. It's right there. Duty that week. His order. It's time for you to serve at the temple. It's time for, you know, like Wayne and Flora, when we call them, they come and make sure that the table is set so we can come to the table. Right? He was on. And as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And standing to the right of the incense altar, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." Now, again, it's got to be humorous. You have to, I mean, I know, maybe we're a little dragging a little bit this morning, but an angel shows up all over Scripture, and their first words are, "Don't be afraid." I mean, Zechariah's got to be stunned, Your wife, Elizabeth, this is really the stunner. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You are to name him John, and you will have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Elizabeth and Zechariah were old. This is pairing itself, if some of you are following in the 90 days reading plan on the YouVersion Bible app, you'll know that the video pointed out to us that this is a a parallel to Sarah and Abraham. A parallel to Sarah and Abraham, their old age. Can you imagine the heart cry of a wannabe mother and a wannabe father? Some of you can. And how they pleaded day and night. We don't get any picture of that. If you want to get a maybe even a greater picture, not only Sarah and Abraham, but you also have a picture of Hannah who goes to the altar pleading to have a child. And the priest, not understanding that she's caught up in an intimacy between her and the Lord, thinks she's drunk. The heart is hurting. And Zechariah just goes to work. Do you hear me? His heart is hurting. His desire is there. But he goes to work. He does his duty. He lines himself up to where he should go and what he should do. And the Lord hears their cry. Not just Zechariah's, but their cry. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will return many, he will turn many Israelites to their Lord, to their God, the Lord their God. He will be a man with the Spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. This is not in your up there, but I'm going to read it to you. He will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." And I love this interchange. Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel." Now, I stand in the presence of God. Wait. Do not be afraid. You've never seen anything like this before. How do I know it's going to be real? Wait a second. Let me tell you my name and tell you where I stand. Let me tell you where I stand. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will be certainly fulfilled at the proper time. Meanwhile, let me just take a side journey. Proper time is a constant theme. Again, one of those constant themes throughout Scripture. God, why not now? Now. And over again, because I see the question, I hear it even in my own head, why isn't he answering? In his proper time, we must be about our duty. We must be doing what he's called us to do, what he's called us to be, who he said we are. And then he fulfills that in his proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. I was going to do this, and I didn't do this morning. But often, the history tells us that oftentimes when the priest would go in to be in the Holy of Holies, there would be a long rope with a bell tied at the end. And the reason was is that they understood from the Old Testament that when God showed up, it wasn't always good. Inside the Holy of Holies, that sometimes those people just went poof, and they couldn't go in, so you had to drag them out. They were dead, folks. So they were waiting in anticipation, didn't know exactly what was going on, and they were wondering why it was taking so long. So when he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. Oh, yeah. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he turned home, and soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed, "and he has taken away my disgrace of having no children." There is more to the chapter. There is far more to the chapter, but I want to focus in this morning on duty. How many of you have been to the hospital and had surgery over 25 years ago? Yeah, a few of us have. If my recollection's right, and I didn't have surgery 25 years ago, but if my recollection's right, even if you had a child, you often were there for multiple days. The recovery process was, they thought that you had to lay still and they medicated you or did whatever they did to you at that time. So how many people have had surgery, you know, in the last 10 years? I know it's been longer. Okay. What's it like now? It's out the door. It's like, really? You got to be kidding. I just had, you know, open heart surgery. You want me out the door tomorrow? Not kidding on that in some cases. Why is that? Why is that? Yeah, advancements in medicine. What else? Insurance, yeah. Nice, yeah. But what else have they found out? You're better off at home, and that healing actually happens better when you're not only at home, but when you're not just horizontal, that when you're vertical, right? That healing often happens not, you know, it's in increments, happens as you are involved with your own healing, that you're in motion with your own healing. I'm just going to tell you why I bring this up, because oftentimes when we get to the idea of duty and we get to the idea of, I'm going to equate it here because some of you are going there, ministry, we go, well, I've had a tough life. I've had a tough, rough way of it. I'm just tired. Can I just tell you that one of the ways that Jesus ministers to our hearts is when we stay consistent to our duty. He speaks into our hearts as we continue to walk with him faithfully in the ministry that he has directed us to do, that he has called us into. So there are times, even this morning, Jesus, in the reading that we had this morning, Jesus got away and he needed silence and solitude. I'm not saying that we don't need that, but I'm saying that healing most often comes in our hearts, in our lives, spiritually, when we engage with God in his kingdom work. Zechariah is the prime example. Please take note. Because oftentimes we go, oh, no, I can't, I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, he's like, no, let me, just in time training, I'm into that, God's God, I'm into that. And I'm also into this healing thing. So I bring that up because I think that sometimes we go through this idea of, well, I was a part of that, but I'm no longer a part of that. So let me ask this question again. How have you shirked your duty? So we kind of played with the idea that, you know, if construction people, if lawyers, doctors, but could it very well be that you are shirking your duty from the Lord? You see, Zechariah met he and Elizabeth's deepest need as he continued in doing his duty. He continued to participate in the kingdom plan at the time, and he now, we get to say his name over and over again, and especially when it comes to Christmas, he gets huge airplay, because he stayed in to what he was called to do. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth pleaded for a child. And I'm not sure, because I think oftentimes we're looking for a nudge, we're looking for a ping from the Lord, we're looking for the Holy Spirit to kind of kick us in the rear. I don't know if Zechariah necessarily felt that. In fact, I would oftentimes say that he didn't. In fact, you know, if we need a call from our boss to make sure we make it to work, we won't have a job long. So I ask the question of us, I don't know, but the Spirit led me to this passage of Scripture. What is it, how have you shirked your duty with the Lord? And I can't speak specifically, but I can ask this question and ask some questions that may help to unveil and pull back the onion a little bit. So if you think you have, if you've stepped back from what he might be calling you to do and where he's wanting to involve yourself in ministry, can I ask, when did it start? When did it start? See, it doesn't just happen all at once. Nothing happens that way. We like to think it does, that, you know, one day I was like this, the next day I don't know, it just happened. But a lot of times what transpires is there's something that transpires in us. That there's a lie that we start to buy into. There's something that the evil one, there's some some disagreeable thing that's not cogent with Scripture that we buy into. It may be as simple as just getting out of the Word. It may be as simple as not staying in communication with the one in whom you say is your Lord and Savior. See, I don't know specifically. I would never pretend to know. But I think the Holy Spirit does. And I believe the Holy Spirit can kind of nudge us that way. Because when we stay active to the things that we know are true to followers of Jesus, and here we call them gathering. So we believe that gathering together in community here and in groups is vitally important to your health. It's vitally important. And getting beyond, you know, how the Tigers are doing to really how your heart is doing and asking those questions. We know that that's important. We know that prayer is vital, not because we say it, but because Scripture says it. We know that communing together with other believers, that's group, is important. And oftentimes what happens is when we do our duty, we then get to revisit and remind and renew ourselves in what we know is already true about the very thing that we've been called into. This morning was one of those. The table's set before us, and it's not brand new to us, but becomes this reminder of what God has called us to. And then all of a sudden, while we're here, we kind of go, oh, that's why that happened this last week. That's what you're speaking about. That's what's transpiring. Not only here, but when we're in our own devotions. I got to thinking about it just a little bit, playing with what if our doctors never went to a class or seminar to get educated, re-educated, to be reminded, renewed, or revisit what they're doing? What if our teachers never did that? What if our car mechanic, I mean, as minor as that may be, with all the advancements in technology, if they kind of went, you know, I don't need to learn that computer stuff, and they just start torquing and wrenching on your car, is it no different than us? Because if we're called to follow Jesus, then we're called to follow an order. We're called to follow, maybe want to lighten it a little bit. The duty may be hard, but a duty, right? And these are the two that we talk about often here and we lean into. We talk about loving God and loving all people. Those are the only ones I can actually lean into you for with you specifically, because God has called us to do that with him first. So I ask the question, how are you shirking your duty in loving God? And I'm not talking long term. I'm actually talking this week. How have you shirked your duty in loving God this week? Because, see, it's not a fast fade into stepping out of step with God, out of duty with God. It is a slow fade. Have you gone several days without praying to him? Have you been out of his word? Have you been out of community? You've heard more, I'm going to say it, we've tilted our ear more to those neighbors and friends around us, which we need to love, and how they do life and the way they do life, and we have tilted it towards the community of faith who's going to kind of go, is that really what the Bible says? Is that part of what's going on? What about loving all people? What about loving all people? What about those relationships at work that you don't need a tune-up? They need an apology. They need a little more FaceTime, whatever that may be. Healthy FaceTime. What about the relationships at home? You see, those are the primary duties that we see Scripture calling us to live out the love that he has called us to live out. Do we need to offer an apology, forgiveness? Do we need to reconcile? You see, I know in my own life when these two are met, it's not perfect, but my conscience is clear. And when these two aren't met, my mind is muddled. It's just like what James says to us, that we become too, our minds are in conflict among the waves of the sea, and we're not sure what to do and where to go and how to stop. So this morning, as Zechariah went to the temple, went into the Holy of Holies, and he got a deliverance on his deepest need in his heart. What is it that you've been praying about? What is it that you hunger for the most? And I'm not saying that God's not going to deliver on that if you don't hear me that, but he does call us to follow him. He calls us to follow him into the responsibility of living the reflection of Jesus into our world and doing the very duty that he's called us to do. First, to loving him, and second, to loving the very people, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, those around us, in the best way that we possibly can with what he has given to us in the moment. What's the Holy Spirit pointing out to you this morning? Because we want to live out love the best way we possibly can. These 105 people on this board are dying for you, literally dying for you to take this up and to live it just as Jesus lived it before us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you have placed in Scripture not only these tremendous stories of our salvation, our redemption through John, who delivered the message and spoke just boldly into the nation of Israel at the time. But Father, you deliver into these stories these small words that remind us of how you work, how you speak, how you use us. And Father, we want to be used by you. We want to be a people who live out love. We first want to do it to you. Father, we want to do it for those around us. We want to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love all people around us. Friends, this morning, the Spirit's nudging you in an area where you have shirked your duty in loving him this week. Can I ask you just to confess it? It doesn't have to be out loud. It can be. It can be at this altar this morning. It can be in a place that you've shirked your duty in loving him with everything that you are. And maybe there's a relationship. There's something you need to repair. There's a neighbor he's been nudging you to, and you've kind of, I don't have the time. Today's the day. Write down when you're going to have those conversations, when you're going to invite those friends, when you're going to step over that line to do what he's called us to do, to be who he's called us to be as a people because of his love for us shed on a cross. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the gift that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. The call of duty, and into duty comes this meeting our deepest needs and our deepest requests in a way that, Father, we could have never imagined or asked. And someday, Father, we'll get to ask Zechariah that. How in the world? Why? Man, I would have been blown away. How'd you go all those days without speaking? Father, would you show up in our space, in our place, in the same way? Would you amaze us as we follow you?